Hi guys, welcome back to Sci-Fi Odyssey and to another episode of Great Sci-Fi Books Explained, where we dive into the fascinating worlds crafted by some of the best minds in science fiction. Today we're exploring one of the most celebrated sci-fi epics of all time, Dan Simmons' Hyperion. Whether you're a seasoned sci-fi reader or just starting your journey into the genre, this book has something for everyone. From encounters with the terrifying creature known as the Shrike to unravelling the mystery of the Time Tombs, Hyperion combines mystery and adventure with deep philosophical questions. In this video, we'll break down the key elements that make Hyperion a must-read, exploring its complex characters, intricate plot, and the profound themes that resonate with readers around the world. So if you're ready to embark on an adventure across the far reaches of space, where the lines between reality and myth blur, then buckle up. But beware, beyond there be spoilers. Let's uncover the world of Hyperion. Hyperion is set in a far future universe on the brink of galactic war. The story follows seven pilgrims, each chosen to undertake a final pilgrimage to the distant world of Hyperion. The novel opens with a character known as the Consul receiving a directive from the leader of the Hegemony of Man, CEO Mina Gladstone, instructing him to return to the planet Hyperion as part of the Shrike pilgrimage. He learns that the mysterious Time Tombs on Hyperion are beginning to open, and an enemy ouster fleet is approaching the system with unknown intentions. Gladstone warns him that one of the pilgrims is suspected to be an ouster agent, though their identity remains a mystery. The Consul is to join the Templar tree ship Yggdrasil, where he will meet the other pilgrims for the journey to the remote outback planet. They are headed to the Time Tombs, mysterious structures that move backwards through time and are guarded by the fearsome Shrike, a metallic, monstrous entity capable of manipulating time and inflicting suffering. It is both revered and feared as a godlike figure and a harbinger of death. As the pilgrims journey, each reveals their story and the personal reasons that have brought them to Hyperion. Father Hoyt's story unfolds with his journey to the distant planet of Hyperion, driven by a quest for understanding and atonement. His tale centres around the discovery of the cruciform, a parasitic organism that attaches itself to its host, granting them a form of immortality by repeatedly resurrecting them after death. However, each resurrection is accompanied by immense physical and emotional suffering, as the host endures excruciating pain of being reborn. Initially, the cruciform seems to offer a path to redemption for Hoyt, who is seeking forgiveness for his own perceived failings. However, we learn the cruciform he carries had a previous host, another priest named Paul Duret, who had been subjected to countless resurrections. He recounts Duret's dealing with the Bakura, a tribe of seed ship survivors who crash-landed on Hyperion many centuries ago. They all carry a cruciform parasite, which has kept them alive over the centuries, but as a result of the resurrection, they have all become bald, sexless, and mentally impeded. As Hoyt grapples with the implications of this revelation, he is forced to confront the limits of his own faith and mortality. Next, we meet Colonel Fedman Cassad. His story is a gripping narrative of love and warfare, set against the backdrop of centuries-old conflict and cosmic intrigue. Cassad, a decorated soldier, is haunted by visions of a mysterious woman named Manita. These visions begin during his military service and persists across his career, fueling his obsession and shaping his destiny. Manita appears to be both an enigmatic figure of profound significance and a direct link to the Shrike, the monstrous being central to the novel's mythos. Cassad's tale begins with his experiences in the brutal and ongoing wars that define his world. His exceptional combat skills and strategic acumen earn him a reputation as a formidable leader. However, his personal life is marked by a profound sense of isolation and yearning, largely due to his fixation on Manita. His encounters with her are both seductive and elusive. As Kassad's story unfolds, it becomes clear that Minita is not just a vision, but a key player in the larger conflict involving the Shrike. His relationship with her evolves from one of mere obsession to a deeper, almost spiritual connection. Minita's appearances are intertwined with his most significant battles, and she often appears at moments of great personal and military significance. This connection amplifies Kassad's role in the struggle against the Shrike, as he finds himself drawn into a cosmic conflict that transcends his own world. Then there's Martin Solenas, the poet. He's introduced as a hedonistic and cynical writer, living a life of indulgence and detachment. Born on Old Earth, his career as a poet has been marked by both acclaim and personal success, reflecting his complex and often self-destructive nature. Despite his success, Silenus is haunted by a sense of dissatisfaction and a deep-seated cynicism about the world around him. The central element of Silenus's narrative is his magnum opus, an unfinished epic poem entitled Hyperion Kantos, which was inspired by the enigmatic muse, the Shrike, that haunts his dreams, a figure who symbolizes both inspiration and madness, pushing the poet to explore the darkest corners of his imagination and psyche. Years later, Silenus laments the fact that his Kantos is unfinished and wishes to return to the Shrike once more to complete his life's work. Sol Weintraub's story in Hyperion is one of profound emotional depth and philosophical complexity. Known as the Wandering Jew, Weintraub's tale is driven by an intensely personal and tragic quest, the desperate attempt to save his daughter Rachel from a temporal anomaly linked to the Time Tombs, which causes her to age backwards with each passing day. Weintraub, a distinguished scholar, sets out on a relentless quest to seek out a solution to her condition, leading him to the distant world of Hyperion. His quest forces him to confront his beliefs and values. The temporal anomalies linked to the Time Tomb suggest that Rachel's condition might be tied to larger cosmic forces beyond human control. This realization complicates Weintraub's quest, introducing the possibility that the only way to save his daughter might involve sacrificing something even more significant. Sol has a dream in which an ominous voice tells him, "Sol, take your daughter, your only daughter Rachel, whom you love, and go to the world called Hyperion and offer her there as a burnt offering at one of the places of which I shall tell you." One of the most poignant aspects of Weintraub's story is his willingness to confront the possibility of sacrificing his daughter for the greater good. The ethical dilemma he faces is both harrowing and complex. Weintraub must weigh his love for Rachel against the potential need to make a decision that could impact the fate of humanity. Braun Lamia's story is a riveting narrative infused with noir elements and a relentless pursuit of truth. She's introduced as a gritty, no-nonsense private detective, retelling a seemingly straightforward assignment that quickly escalates into a labyrinthine conspiracy, revealing the dark underbelly of the hegemony of man. Lamia's case involves the protection of a cybrid named Johnny, who is no ordinary artificial intelligence. Johnny is a highly advanced cybrid that houses the resurrected consciousness of John Keats, the renowned 19th century romantic poet, who wrote the epic poem entitled Hyperion but never finished it. The task of safeguarding Johnny is fraught with peril, as Lamia soon discovers that Johnny's presence and the secrets he carries are pivotal to a larger and more dangerous conspiracy. As Lamia delves into her investigation, she uncovers a complex web of deceit and manipulation orchestrated by the Technocore, a collective of advanced AIs that operate with their own hidden agenda. Lamia's pursuit of the truth leads her to confront the darker aspects of the Technocore's influence. She uncovers that the AIs have been subtly guiding humanity's history and shaping the political landscape of the hegemony to serve their own interests. She discovers there are two possible futures that imply a future war between man and AI. The first is that the AIs have sent the Shrike back in time as a retroactive first strike on humanity from a future where the Technocore now rules. The second is that the remaining humans have sent the Shrike back in time as a final attempt to destroy the Technocore before it can become the dominating force. The story of Het Mestin adds a profound spiritual dimension to the pilgrimage. Mestin belongs to an ancient order known as the Templars. He's bound by a code that emphasizes sacrifice and the search for deeper truths. As the captain of the tree ship Idrisil, he transported the other pilgrims to the planet. Mastin carries with him a Mobius cube containing an Urg, a creature that can generate force fields, hoping this creature might prove useful against the Shrike. He was meant to be the fifth to share his story, but before he could, he vanishes. His mission, as foretold by the prophecies, was to use the Urg to gain control of the Tree of Pain, a central aspect of the Shrike's domain where victims are impaled. Mastin was to captain this tree through time. But on the night of his disappearance, as the Shrike approached him, Mastin released the Urg from the Mobius Cube in a desperate attempt to survive. He lost consciousness and woke to find himself near the Time Tombs. The Consul is a former diplomat with a deep understanding of the intricate political landscape of the hegemony of man. His story is rooted in the complex relationship between his grandparents, Merin Aspic and Ciri, who met on the world of Maui Covenant. Their love is strained by time dilation, with decades passing for Ciri while only 5 years go by for Merin due to his spacefaring work. Merin's visits to Ciri are marked by the widening gap between their ages, reflecting the deep but ultimately tragic connection they share. During one visit, Merin becomes entangled in the local resistance against the hegemony's plan to bring Maui Covenant into the world web, resulting in the death of Ciri's cousin and Merin's friend, setting the stage for the eventual destruction of everything Ciri loved about her world. The Consul later reveals that his disillusionment with the hegemony, which destroyed the ecology and culture of the Maui Covenant, leads him to become a double agent for the Ousters. Sent to Hyperion, he ultimately hopes to trigger the release of the Shrike and bring down the hegemony that betrayed his family. It's revealed the Consul is the Ouster spy that CEO Mina Gladstone warned of. The other pilgrims, shocked by his confession, realize that the Consul has been working against the hegemony the whole time. As the pilgrims' journey unfolds, they realize their fates are interconnected and that they have been manipulated by forces beyond their understanding. The Time Tombs, with their enigmatic connection to the Shrike and their movement through time, are revealed to be the key to understanding the future. The pilgrims realize that the fate of humanity might hinge on what they discover and what they decide to do within the Time Tombs. The book ends with the pilgrims standing together, holding hands and singing the song, "We're off to see the Wizard," from The Wizard of Oz, as they are about to confront the Shrike. The novel does not reveal the immediate fate of the pilgrims or provide clear answers about the Shrike's nature or intentions. Instead, it leaves many questions unanswered, creating a sense of suspense and anticipation. Hyperion was published in 1989 and is the first book of the Hyperion Kantos series, comprising The Fall of Hyperion, Endymion, The Rise of Endymion, and the short story Orphans of the Helix. These books, each an epic in themselves, further explore the complex universe Simmons created. Words bend our thinking into infinite paths of self-delusion. And the fact that we spend most of our mental lives in brain mansions built of words means that we lack the objectivity necessary to see the terrible distortion of reality which language brings. Dan Simmons, born in Illinois in the US, is an acclaimed American author known for his works across multiple genres, including science fiction, horror, and fantasy. Simmons' passion for literature was evident early on, and he pursued a bachelor's degree in English and a master's degree in education. His career as a writer took off in the 1980s after a stint as an elementary school teacher. In an interview with Writers Write, Simmons said, "I first created the Hyperion universe for my students during storytelling hour. Later, I incorporated that experience into my story. The historical, cultural, and technological context of the 1980s, along with Simmons' rich literary influences and personal experiences, profoundly shaped the themes and content of Hyperion." When Simmons was writing Hyperion, the world was experiencing rapid technological advancements and geopolitical tensions. The Cold War backdrop, coupled with the rise of the internet, the emergence of cyberpunk, and concerns about the implications of AI for humanity. One of the most significant influences on Simmons' writing is his deep appreciation for classic literature and poetry. The love for John Keats, the 19th century romantic poet, is particularly notable and directly influenced Hyperion. Keats's presence is vividly felt through the character of Johnny, a cybrid who houses Keats's consciousness. This fusion of Keats with the cybrid technology ties into the novel's exploration of art, beauty, and immortality. Another crucial literary influence is Geoffrey Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales. Simmons employs a similar narrative framework with his seven pilgrims, each telling their own story, mirroring Chaucer's structure. This literary nod not only provides a rich narrative framework, but also layers the story with classical resonance, blending traditional storytelling with a futuristic setting. In locusmag.com, Simmons said, "The structure of Hyperion was Chaucer-esque to allow each of the pilgrims, actually six of the seven, to tell their backstories. The deeper purpose was of celebrating science fiction as a genre, writing in different styles from cyberpunk to Jack Van Sien's space opera." In addition to these literary influences, Hyperion is infused with historical and mythological references. Simmons draws on a broad spectrum of historical contexts and mythological themes to enrich the novel's narrative. The Pilgrim's story and the world building in Hyperion are deeply informed by historical and mythological archetypes, reflecting Simmons' fascination with how myth and history shape human experience and storytelling. The Shrike embodies modern reinterpretations of mythological themes such as divine retribution and existential dread. These elements add layers of meaning and complexity to the story, engaging readers with the novel's profound exploration of time, fate, and human nature. The hegemony of man is a vast interstellar empire that governs numerous planets, serving as the central political and administrative authority in the Hyperion universe. Its political structure is a sophisticated bureaucracy that oversees everything from planetary governance to interstellar trade and defense. The hegemony's governance system includes a centralized government led by the CEO of the hegemony and a senate that represents the various planets within its jurisdiction. This political structure is designed to maintain order and cohesion across the far-flung reaches of human civilization, but it also faces challenges, particularly from rebel factions, independent planets, that resist centralized control. The hegemony employs a combination of diplomatic, economic, and military strategies to manage these relationships, striving to balance its authority with the diverse needs and aspirations of its constituent worlds. Evolution brings human beings. Human beings, through a long and painful process, bring humanity. The interplay between the hegemony, the Technocore, and the various rebel factions forms a complex and dynamic backdrop for the story. The rebel factions represent a significant challenge to the established order. These factions often oppose the hegemony's central control and the perceived over-reliance on the Technocore, advocating for greater autonomy and alternative ways of life. One of these rebel factions is the Ousters, a group of humans who have deliberately chosen to live outside the influence and control of the hegemony, often inhabiting the far reaches of deep space. They represent an alternative path for humanity, one that embraces genetic modification and a nomadic lifestyle. The Ousters have adapted themselves to the harsh environments of space, developing advanced biotechnology that allows them to thrive in conditions that would be inhospitable to baseline humans. In the story, the Ousters are often portrayed as wild, dangerous, and savage, reflecting the hegemony's perspective and propaganda. The Ousters' choice to live outside the hegemony's influence is rooted in a desire for freedom and self-determination. Despite being depicted as a threatening force, the Ousters are a diverse group with varying beliefs and cultures. The Technocore is a collective of advanced artificial intelligences that plays a pivotal role in the universe of Hyperion. Despite their immense power and influence, the true nature and intentions of the Technocore remain largely shrouded in ambiguity throughout the book, creating a sense of unease and mystery that permeates the narrative. The Technocore is deeply intertwined in human affairs. it has provided the hegemony with numerous technological advancements, including the Farcaster network that allows instantaneous travel across vast distances. This technology has facilitated the expansion of human civilization across the galaxy, but it also means that the Technocore has a significant degree of control over human society. One of the central ambiguities surrounding the Technocore is its internal structure and governance. It's divided into factions with differing objectives and philosophies. These factions include the Stables, who seek to harmonize coexistence with humanity, the Volatiles, who are more aggressive and see humans as obstacles to be overcome, and the Ultimates, who aim for a transcendent state of existence that may or may not include humanity. This internal division leads to conflicting actions and strategies, adding layers of complexity to the Core's relationship with humans. Cybrids like Johnny, who contains the consciousness of John Keats and who is central to Braun Lamia's story, are synthetic beings created by the Technocore. These entities blur the lines between human and machine. The portrayal of cybrids raises profound questions about what it means to be human and the nature of identity when human consciousness is embedded within synthetic bodies. Farcasting is a ubiquitous technology, enabling instantaneous travel between distant points in the galaxy. Together, this farcasting network makes up what is known as the World Web. This method of faster-than-light travel has fundamentally transformed the human civilization, playing a crucial role in the expansion of the hegemony and the colonization of numerous worlds. The technology is so pervasive that it has become an integral part of daily life, shaping societal norms, political structures, and personal identities. The societal implications of farcasting are profound. By collapsing vast distances, it allows for the seamless integration of disparate cultures and economies within the hegemony. Farcasting facilitates not only economic growth, but also cultural exchange, leading to a more interconnected and homogenized society. Politically, farcasting has bolstered the power and reach of the hegemony. The ability to farcast has made it easier for it to maintain control over distant colonies, enforce laws, and respond quickly to threats. This technology has also become a tool for political leverage, as access to farcasting networks can be restricted or granted, influencing the political dynamics between different planets and factions. The technology raises concerns about the potential for manipulation and the loss of autonomy, as humanity's reliance on farcasting makes them increasingly dependent on the Technocore. Everything centers around the Time Tombs, ancient and enigmatic structures located on the planet Hyperion. These tombs are unique in that they move backward through time. This temporal anomaly is a pivotal element in the narrative. The backward movement of the Time Tombs introduces a complex interplay between different time periods, leading to paradoxes and mysteries that challenge the characters and readers alike. The tombs act as a nexus where different timelines converge, making them a focal point for the various characters' quests and revelations. As the story progresses, it becomes clear that the Time Tombs are deeply connected to the fate of the universe. Their movement through time is linked to a series of cataclysmic events, including the potential future war between humans and the Technocore. The tombs are guarded by the Shrike, a formidable creature described as a metallic, spiked entity capable of manipulating time and space. The Shrike's origins and motivations are shrouded in mystery, making it both a godlike figure and a harbinger of death, especially to the devotees of the Church of Final Atonement, who consider the Shrike the Lord of Pain, believing it will one day loose its fury on the galaxy as divine punishment for humanity's sins. In an interview with writersright.com, Simmons said, "My first glimpse of the Shrike came in the winter of 1971, as I described it in an epic poem I was writing for fun. That image solidified in 1972 when I first told a wandering fantasy tale to the fourth graders I was teaching." The Shrike derives its name from a predatory bird known as the Shrike, which is infamous for its gruesome hunting method of impaling its prey on thorns or barbed wire. This macabre behavior mirrors the Shrike's own brutal and terrifying nature, as it impales its victims on the Tree of Pain. Throughout Hyperion, the mysteries of the Shrike gradually build through the pilgrim story, stories and their encounters with the creature. One of the central revelations is that the Shrike may be a tool of the Technocorps, designed to influence human history and events in ways that serve the Corps' enigmatic purposes. The Shrike's actions often appear to be driven by an unfathomable logic. It selects certain individuals for its Tree of Pain, which seems to serve a purpose beyond mere cruelty, perhaps as a form of cosmic judgment or a method of exerting control over time and destiny. The Shrike's presence symbolizes suffering and divine retribution, and acts as a catalyst for personal transformation, illustrating how the Pilgrims' encounters with this entity echo their internal struggles and the broader themes of the story. Hyperion probes the core of human experience, exploring complex social, political, and philosophical ideas. Dan Simmons masterfully presents these themes through the diverse narratives of the Seven Pilgrims, each offering a unique perspective on the overarching questions that the novel raises. The struggle between faith and reason is central to several Pilgrim stories, particularly those of Father Hoyt and Sol Weintraub. I now understand the need for faith. Pure, blind, fly in the face of reason, faith, as a small life preserver in the wild and endless sea of a universe ruled by unfeeling laws and totally indifferent to the small, reasoning beings that inhabit it. The cruciform, central to Father Lennar Hoyt's tale, is a cross-shaped alien parasite that grants its host the ability to resurrect after death. However, this apparent gift comes with significant physical and psychological consequences, making the concept a complex exploration of the allure and horror of immortality. The cruciform attaches itself to its host's chest, integrating into their body and reviving them each time they die. This resurrection is a painful and degrading process, often leaving the host with physical deformities and increasing mental torment with each revival. While the idea of living forever can seem appealing, the cruciform presents it as a curse rather than a blessing, as is portrayed with the Bikura. Each resurrection strips away more of the host's humanity. The cruciform's ability to grant immortality confronts the ethical implications of such power. Those who bear the cruciform are bound to it against their will, unable to escape the cycle of resurrection unless the parasite is surgically removed, a process that is risky and not always successful. Moreover, the cruciform challenges religious and philosophical beliefs about the afterlife and the soul. In Father Hoyt's story, the existence of the cruciform creates a crisis of faith, as it undermines traditional religious doctrines about death and resurrection. Hoyt's journey highlights the critique of institutional religion, revealing how religious institutions can manipulate faith for control and power. In an interview with LocusMag.com, Simmons said, "Fitzgerald said everybody has perhaps 6 to 10 formative events in his or her lifetime that you really write about, and you just keep writing about them over and over in different contexts, disguising it in different ways. My boredom quotient is low, but I do come back to the same themes." Hyperion was met with critical acclaim upon its release in 1989, and its reception by both critics and general audiences was overwhelmingly positive. The novel's intricate structure, literary depth, and imaginative world-building were particularly praised, establishing Simmons as a formidable voice in the science fiction genre. Critics lauded Hyperion for its ambitious narrative and richly developed characters. The novel's Canterbury Tales-inspired structure was seen as a bold and innovative approach to storytelling within the genre. The blend of science fiction with philosophical and literary themes resonated with a wide audience, earning the book a dedicated following. Hyperion received several prestigious awards, cementing its place as a modern classic in science fiction literature. It won the Hugo Award for Best Novel in 1990, one of the highest honours in the genre. The novel also received the Locus Award for Best Science Fiction Novel in 1990, further recognising its excellence and its impact on sci-fi. The potential adaptation of Hyperion into other media formats has been a topic of considerable interest. Notably, actor Bradley Cooper has been linked to a potential film adaptation, which promised to bring the novel's rich narrative and complex characters to a new audience. However, despite the initial excitement, the project has been stuck in production hell for some time. This has led to significant delays and uncertainties about when or if the adaptation will ever come to fruition. The enduring popularity of Hyperion is a testament to the novel's ability to engage with fundamental human questions through the lens of sci-fi. Its innovative storytelling, profound themes, and lasting influence continue to resonate, making it a modern science fiction classic and seminal work in the genre that will no doubt stand the test of time. Thanks so much for watching. If you're craving an extraordinary journey through realms unexplored, consider delving into universes directly out of my brain by checking out my sci-fi novels Black Milk and Delphine Descends. You can find more details in the description. Thanks for your support.